It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hello, and welcome to the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. I'm sleep and health journalist Malia Jacobson. I hope you're doing well after a holiday weekend and enjoying your week. We're headed into June, and I know many of us are very excited to be moving into summer, leaving this spring behind. On the other hand, maybe you're feeling a little apprehensive about moving into this next stage and leaving behind this strange phase of life that we've been in, this extra time at home, extra time with family that we've enjoyed, extra time to get things done, work on the house, work on your garden, and we're not sure what this next phase holds for us. In any case, whatever you're feeling, you're not alone. I think I fall into the all of the above category myself, and I think we're just all embracing a little bit of uncertainty right now. I am very excited to be releasing episode 8 today. I heard something a long time ago that stuck with me, and that was that most new podcasts don't make it past episode 7. And so I always held that in my mind as just a strange fact that I retained. And here I am, episode 8. So I made it past episode 7. That's my own little finish line tape that I'm running through today, even though I am by no means finished and have more episodes on the horizon and some already recorded. And I'm just really excited to have come this far over this spring. So thank you for being part of that and for being here with me. I'm excited about this episode because we're focusing on something that's made a big impact in my life and in my sleep, and that is morning and evening routines. When we say bedtime routine, many of us think of a bedtime routine like a bedtime story in a bath for a baby or a toddler. But in truth, as humans, we are all wired to benefit from routines around sleep and waking. It's especially true at bedtime. Our brains are just wired to associate certain things in a certain order with sleep. So the things we do over and over again become that routine that cues sleep. So as one sleep physician put it to me, A plus B plus C equals sleep. And while we might live in a somewhat chaotic world, especially over the last few months, our brains really crave that consistency when it comes to sleep. If you've been listening to my other episodes, you've heard many times about how important consistency is in the morning too, specifically waking up at the same time each day, which has been huge for me this year. As a sleep journalist, it's something I've heard from sleep physicians over and over for years as part of sleep hygiene. It's something I've reported on and even written about. But this year has been the year that I have finally been able to do it myself, and it has been a game changer. The morning, as we're going to hear about, can also be a time when we can create some calm in our lives, make space for personal reflection and growth, as we will talk about with our wonderful guest. Lena D. Meyer is a transformational life coach and founder of Gratitude 6 and the Soulful Entrepreneurs Network. After a 10-year career in the financial industry, she became a master certified transformational life coach, earning 1,000 hours of intensive on-site certification training and more than 300 hours of private one-on-one coaching, counseling, and mentorship. She is also a neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, intuitive development and energy awareness facilitator, mindfulness and meditation practitioner, workshop leader, keynote speaker, and contributes to numerous media outlets, including King 5's New Day Northwest and Como's Seattle Refined. Without any further delay, let's get Lena on the line. Hello, Lena. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So great to connect today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad to talk to you again. I think the last time we spoke was maybe back in November or December for the article on New Year's resolutions. And I think I shared with you during that article or during that interview that I have always struggled with New Year's resolutions, and your advice, especially around morning and evening routines, was so helpful for me and impacted me in a way that I didn't expect. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Before we jump into our discussion of morning and evening routines that can help support better rest, better calm during this time. I wanted to talk a little bit about you and your background. You're a transformational life coach, which sounds amazing. Can you talk about what that means and how you work with people in person, online, through courses? What does that look like?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, transformational life coaching is a type of life coaching. And what it really means is helping people get in touch with that deeper place of truth within themselves. So whether that's tapping into their heart or soul or core self, beginning to uncover what is it that is really important to you? What are your passions? What is your purpose in life? What does that life of true fulfillment mean for you? And then how do you begin to create actions in your life to move you towards that? The transformational piece means that it's about more than just creating a checklist of to-dos. It's about creating those inner shifts that are needed to be able to really rise into that greater fulfillment and higher purpose. So transformational coaching really is about both taking those external actions and creating the internal shifts to create that new experience in your life.
Right. Thank you so much. And what are the people that you work with telling you right now about how this current reality is impacting them, especially in terms of their sleep, their anxiety, their ability to wind down at night?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question because, of course, everyone is different. And no two people are experiencing this in exactly the same way. And
right.
I have a lot of my clients, especially ones that I've been working with for a while, they're saying, wow, you know, life sure is different right now, but I'm glad that I have these tools that we've been practicing because I can't even imagine trying to do life right now without having a way to get grounded or centered in my day. People who are reaching out for the first time are saying, they're kind of expressing that desire. Hey, I need some tools to do this differently because, you know, I'm doing okay on my own, but wow, I so don't know what comes next. I just know that I need to and want to do something different right now, whether it's getting more centered, getting more grounded, or using the most of my time because suddenly I have all of this free time. And I get to really dive into what's important to me. Or, oh my goodness, I have zero free time because I'm overloaded with family and work and managing my own new routines with myself. So what people are expressing overall is big change. And with big change comes possibility for creating shifts.
Right. Yes, I agree. Big change in for everyone. But it does really differ how you're experiencing it based on your family obligations, your work obligations, and so forth. But the common theme seems to be big, big change.
Yes. In fact, I would feel safe saying I think everyone I've talked to is expressing big change.
Right.
Yep. Shows up, the way it shows up is different. But the big change is the common thread.
Yes. And in your recent blog post called Navigating Your New Reality, 7 Steps to Finding Clarity in Uncertain Times, you talk first and foremost about gratitude, which of course is something that you central to your approach. Why is gratitude especially important right now? I think a lot of people are finding that gratitude is helping them through this time. What is it about gratitude that's particularly helpful when things are uncertain?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, gratitude is huge. And we might hear, oh, I should be grateful. I should be grateful for all these things in my life, or I should be. So I'll start by saying that if there's ever that thought of should be grateful, that word should can bring us down.
And right.
So I want to start just by saying it's not that gratitude even should be the first step. It's beginning to notice what a helpful first step it can be. And so the reason for that is when things are difficult, when we're in times of deep, deep challenge, you know, each day can feel heavy, or there can be a pressure, there can be this fog and overwhelm, and it can feel like, oh my gosh, the rug just keeps getting pulled out from underneath me. And we can start to feel like nothing is going right. In fact, it's only getting worse. And we can get stuck in this mindset of nothing's working, it's and fog and overwhelm. And maybe even just listening to that, you can start to feel that. I know I can. And so gratitude is simply to say, no matter what, there's always something that's going well. And so for people who are in that deep, dark space, to just begin to notice, what's one thing that's going well today? What's one thing that you're grateful for? What's one thing that you experienced that brought you a moment of joy or peace? And what that will do is it starts to reset the mind into a different direction, into an upswing, to be able to experience more and more moments of peace, more and more moments of joy. And it will begin to train the mind to see, oh, not only is there one thing, but there are two things, and there are five things, and there are 10 things. So gratitude really is about not pretending to be happy and not putting a gratitude band-aid on things when they're not working, but beginning to uncover and see and pay attention to the reality of what's good and working. We're alive. We're healthy enough to be able to hear this conversation. We have people in our lives that care about us, one or two or 20. And so beginning to really strengthen that gratitude muscle is huge, because if we're looking at creating shifts in our lives, we need to start with that base of positivity. It lets us explore all the next steps from a place of possibility instead of a place of fear.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I agree. And I think for me, one thing that I've noticed with developing a gratitude practice is that it, the way that it grounds me in the present moment or the present day, because we spend so much time thinking, I think, you know, there's studies that show, that actually tell us what percentage of the time we're thinking about the past or the future. And I don't remember what percentage it is, but most of our thoughts are usually directed toward the past or the future and not centered on what's actually happening right now. And what gratitude does for me is when I'm thinking, what am I grateful for now? You can't think about the future. You can't be grateful for something that hasn't happened yet. And when I'm thinking about the present day and what happened today, then that's what centers me in the present moment. And that dials down the anxiety that can come with living in the future or living in the past, really, and just centering on the present day, and in a very real way that just really decreases the types of anxiety I think that could otherwise really take over right now.
Yes, absolutely. And that, you know, what you just said about grounding in the present in a real way, so important. Again, it's not pretending, it's noticing the things that are true.
Right, exactly. And I think the more time that you're spending more grounded in your present reality, the less time you have to really worry or ruminate, which I think I know those are things that I could definitely stand to do less of, and that ultimately don't serve me. So that kind of leads me into another thing that I wanted to talk to you about, which was, you know, you work with people through big life transitions, and you have really seen firsthand the transformative power of having daily routines that really support rest and reflection, restorative sleep. And that's really why I wanted to have you on today, to talk about the importance of setting up routines, particularly morning and evening routines and habits that can help people work toward their goals. Can you talk about how you approach that with your clients?
Yes. And, you know, routines are so interesting to me. And even as you're, with what you just said, I'm reminded, for whatever reason, of being in my kind of mid-20s. And I never even really heard of anyone talk about having daily routines. At that time, it wasn't either I wasn't reading materials that talked about them, or they weren't being talked about as much as they are now. But when I started hearing about this idea of a morning routine or an evening routine and creating greater peace or wellness, it just sparked such an interest in me. And now, fast forward many years, I went from having zero routine to something in my daily life that has been going now for years. And through this time, with all of the changes, has been my grounding place. And I'm fortunate to have worked with, at this point, over hundreds of people who are reporting back the same thing. And so, yes, I'd love to share with you some tips and ways to approach not just creating a routine, but creating a routine that works for you, because everyone is different. And a starting place with that is to just consider, what if everyone listening, what if you already have daily routines? Things that you do on autopilot every day, habitual responses. The question though is, are they helpful? Are they helpful? Are they empowering? Do they lift you up? Do they put you in the direction of what you want? Do they disempower you, drag you down, drain you? So an example of something that might be the latter would be, if I wake up first thing in the morning, look on my phone and scroll through social media and bad news for an hour, that might be an example of a routine that would be worth shifting. If I have a routine of eating a couple of servings of vegetables a day and getting movement and connecting to people I care about, that might be an example of a positive routine. So just starting with the awareness of, you might already have routines. Now it's just a question of, how do you want to shift and change them to support you with where you are right now?
Right, yes. And the routine, I think specifically that we talked about when we spoke last fall, was you recommended a 3-minute morning and evening journaling routine to help kind of wind down and get the mind ready for rest, to reflect on the day in the evening, and then to get set and started in the morning. And that was so helpful, I think, for me, because I have never been able to get a journaling habit to stick. And it's just one of those things that I was just like, this is not for me. I can never do it. And I think part of it was, well, I don't have a lot of time to spend. I have 3 kids. When I get to bed at night, I'm exhausted. I'm not going to sit and fill up a page. It's just never been my thing. But I think looking at it from, well, 3 minutes, I can do 3 minutes, and making it a little more approachable instead of looking at this blank page in a journal that I can never fill up, you know. And so for some reason, it just stuck with me, and I have been able to do it every single day of 2020, which is huge for me, considering that A, I'm not a New Year's resolution person and never even really make them. And B, that it's just a journaling thing that is new for me too. So, and it's been really great in helping me recognize patterns, and it's just been a good habit. And I have you to thank for that. So can you talk a little bit more about that recommendation? And I'll put the link to that article in the show notes for this episode, but just in case, for anyone who hasn't seen it, what is that 3-minute routine that you were talking about?
Yeah. So first of all, it was so fun to hear that, by the way, that it stuck for you. And I'm going to share the 3-minute routine. One of the things first though, is to really make sure people know this, that one of the things that helps any routine or anything that I might suggest stick is letting it be something that's going to work for you. Right. So, and it needs to be doable. So the 3 minutes is like at this magic number for most things. It's small enough that most of us can do something for 3 minutes each day. And if it's 3 minutes that has the potential to significantly affect our life in a positive way, what a deal. If you try for a week and it doesn't work, you've hardly lost anything, but the potential gain is immense. And, you know, the mind might say, well, how could 3 minutes possibly make a difference? Well, interestingly enough, it just does. So we're used to putting in like all this hard work to get these great big results. And sometimes we need to, but sometimes it's going to be just a small tweak to your day that makes all the difference. And so one small tweak that you can make to your day is that 3-minute morning routine and 3-minute evening routine. With the morning and the evening, you can mix and match and choose what works best for you. But one way to start is just by saying, okay, each morning, what if within the first few minutes of waking up, I allowed myself to take a few deep breaths, just go from that sleep state into the day where it might be a bit more peaceful, it might be a bit quieter, and breathe in the day. Take a few deep inhales and even say to yourself, breathe in the new day. With the exhales, say, release the old. Breathe in the new day, release the old. You can also set an intention for your day. So it's an opportunity to connect within and just notice, what is my intention today? Perhaps it's to show up with compassion and curiosity with the people I live with. Maybe it's joy and fun. I've been working for 10 days straight and I need to take at least a half a day, if not a whole day or 2 days off. But each day, giving yourself the opportunity to both breathe in and settle in to a few moments of peace before things take off. And then be mindful of what would really serve you today. So a breath and intention, just taking 3 minutes to start that way. And then our days kind of have a mind of their own sometimes, and they're going to go on autopilot. So it's by starting your day that way is going to be the easiest before unexpected things start happening. Same thing with the evening. So why an evening routine? It's kind of when you start winding down towards the end of the day, it's a little bit more predictable. You know, eventually at night, you're going to go to bed. So if you reverse engineer it and kind of work backwards and say, okay, I'm going to go to bed. How many minutes before I go to bed would it make sense to put in an evening routine? And then you get to choose what you'd like to do. And some options for that include gratitude journal or reflecting on the day. So if you wanted to do that 3-minute evening routine, it could be just writing down. It could be a word or many sentences or a paragraph. You could draw, but just noticing what was I grateful for today? What went well? What experiences did I have with other people that were meaningful for me? What challenges did I overcome within myself or in my life? What was I proud of? What did I learn? All these questions are going to help really begin to notice, help you begin to notice the good of the day. And it's also, especially when done right before bed, going to have the potential to help you sleep better. Because what it's also going to do is start bringing in some of those positive chemicals like dopamine and serotonin. So it actually changes your chemistry, which can allow for a more restful or enjoyable sleep. So taking those 3 minutes at the end of the day can be such a powerful way to start building the experience of happiness a moment at a time and set you up for a more peaceful sleep as well.
Right, thank you. That has just been so, so important for me. And I think another thing that I think a lot of people struggle with, and something that has come up in a lot of my episodes, is just the problem of creating enough time for sleep in the day, creating enough time for rest in the day, and really making space for those things, for rest, reflection, personal growth, sleep. If your client is struggling with something like that, creating enough space for themselves, creating enough time for sleep, how do you help them approach that?
Wow. I can understand how that question would come up a lot because that's a complex one. Again, you know, I can't say it enough. Everyone is different. So I can't possibly know the answer right to each person. Yet at the same time, one thing that can be helpful to do is map out your day. You know, for example, if you feel like, God, I don't have enough time to get enough rest, just draw out, what did yesterday look like for you? And by draw it out, I mean get a piece of paper, start write down the times of the day. When did you wake up? What did you do next? When did you eat lunch? What did you do next? What time did you go to bed? Right? Just take an inventory of one day of all the things that you did. And if you somehow were super efficient and there's nothing in there that you could change, then let's talk. But usually what we'll find is, wow, you know, I spent an hour on social media. Not only did I not need to do that, but it also drained my energy. Maybe I spent 30 minutes shopping on Amazon and, you know, did I actually need that stuff? I didn't. So it's just finding where are those places in my day that I do have the capacity to shift, and bonus would be experiences that aren't even helping me feel good anyway. So just starting with, you know, is there 30 minutes I could shift in my day? And then you can even, you know, we all set an alarm to wake up in the morning. You can set an alarm at night that cues you to say, maybe it's an hour before you go to bed, you have an evening alarm that says, okay, it's time to change into my pajamas, do my gratitude journal, brush my teeth, do whatever, so that you remind yourself to start winding down for the evening.
Right, thank you. And I think right now, that's one thing that seems to be happening with a lot of people. I know it's happening with me, is we are seeing things in our daily routines that used to take up a lot of time that are now just gone. And it's given us the opportunity to think about the ways that we're spending our time. Commuting for a lot of us is gone or changed. Going to and from all the activities that we used to have. It has given us an opportunity, whether we wanted it or not. And I know in my case, I really didn't, did not want this change to happen. But it's given us an opportunity to rethink our daily routines, where we were spending our time. And because life is so busy that there are just so few opportunities to really pause and do that. But now we do have that opportunity. And now I think I'm thinking about, okay, what changes am I going to keep moving forward as we move into maybe a new kind of normal? So I think that's kind of the next challenge. I'm not sure if that's what you're also hearing from people that you're working with.
You know, yes, it is some, you know, people are in all kinds of different phases. So I would say, I'm just doing a quick inventory. I feel very comfortable saying, you know, almost everyone is asking, or at least almost everyone is asking, what next?
Right.
What do I want to do next? Because there's the right now question, which can be really big. But as humans, we just naturally want to know what comes next. We create visions for our lives. We create goals. We create intentions. And when so much around us changes, it can be very, very difficult to create a new picture, because what's happening is, you know, we're used to planning and visioning, but we're also being shocked into this awareness of, oh my gosh, I actually can't predict the future. And so while, of course, we know that, the mind in some ways doesn't know that. And so it's this weird in-between space of, okay, there's some good that's coming out of this. There's some challenges that are coming out of this. I'm letting go of some stuff that's, you know, just not important anymore. And I'm connecting into things that are even more important to me, that I am bringing to life. And I want to carry, as you said, carry that forward. How do I do that? So for each of us, just paying attention to those questions and answers, and really answering them in a real way, those are the building blocks, I believe, that are going to let us move forward in a way that's more intentional and even truer and even more alive for each of us.
Right. And I think that's really where those morning and evening routines come in, right? Because it's just creating that small little space in your day or your evening for that reflection. And that's the piece that for me is the building block to creating change. If I don't have that small little moment for reflection, then all the experiences just kind of wash over me. And so it's that those few minutes at the end of the day where I can take a moment and really look at what's going on, ground myself in what happened today, what was I grateful for, what am I looking forward to, what needs to happen tomorrow, where I can really reflect on those changes that are happening and think about things like that. I think otherwise it would just all feel very overwhelming.
Yes, the blur of the days melding into each other and overwhelm. Absolutely. And that 3-minute gratitude practice, especially, it does. It helps, you know, the gratitude experience of what went well today, or what am I grateful for? It's a reflection on things that actually happened. We'll start building in those positive memories as well. And interestingly, it'll also allow, it starts planting it into the subconscious. So it makes it easier to create more positive experiences or choose more positive routes moving forward as well. So it's this like self-fulfilling prophecy of gratitude in your life. And you call them building blocks. We're talking about building blocks. They certainly are. It might take a little bit of time at first, but it doesn't take a whole lot of time. So even, for example, today, saying, hey, what if I tried this for the 3 minutes an evening for the next 3 days? Just notice, do I feel better? Do I have more energy? Do I feel a little bit more uplifted? And eventually it becomes exponential.
Right. Yes, it builds over time, which is cool to see. So as we're talking about this kind of unprecedented period of time where everyone's experiencing so much change, some people have had a productive quarantine. They've gotten a lot done and seem to be feeling positive about it. And other people just feel kind of overwhelmed and pressured. What's your advice for someone who's more the latter, who's just feeling pressured or overwhelmed during this life stage? How can they cope and hang on?
Yes, and a few things, at least a few things. You know, one is I always encourage people to reach out for help. So whatever kind of overwhelm someone is experiencing, just know that by the very nature of being human, you have permission to ask for help. And if you haven't already, maybe even consider what kind of help do you most need and what kind of a positive difference would it make in your life? If you got help, even just a little bit, in whatever area is troubling you most. So that's one thing, is that you don't have to do it alone. Another is, you know, having listened to this full conversation we've had, just begin to notice what is your big takeaway from today? What have you learned? What was meaningful? What has shifted for you? And if you were to put one thing from today into action to positively impact your day or your life, what would that be? And so after finishing listening to this conversation today, what I would suggest for anyone listening is to just sit down, practice one of the things that we talked about today, because it'll take at most 3 minutes. And it's a great way to get it started now, rather than putting it in a to-do pile for later, because whether someone is doing well right now or not doing well right now, I know very few people who want a bigger to-do list. So one way to avoid that is to just do it today, try it out, and then you can set yourself up to practice it for the next few days moving forward.
Right. Thank you so much. So let's recap for people. What are those changes that you're talking about that someone can just kind of choose one and try that out?
Mm-hmm. So one would be, you know, be taking a few breaths, to just imagine breathing in the new day, imagine breathing in the rejuvenation of this moment even. And let those exhales release the old day, release anything that's ready to move on. So it's just that intentional rejuvenating inhales of breathing in the day and then the exhales to let go. And then setting an intention. You can even set an intention for the rest of your day. How do you want to show up? What do you want to experience? What would be helpful for you? Maybe it's get a project done that you've been delaying on. Maybe it's just to enjoy the remainder of this day, but setting an intention and taking about 3 minutes for that. So that's something you normally would do in the morning, but you can practice it right now. And then there's that 3 minute evening practice, which is the gratitude journaling. So writing down things that you're grateful for. But you can also consider, what did I learn today? What's shifted? What am I becoming aware of? What's important to me? And by the way, there are more question prompts in the article that you referenced, Navigating Your New Reality, the 7 Steps. So that's going to be full of additional questions people can use to reflect on at that end of the day for that kind of evening journaling practice.
Right. So I will include that link as well in the show notes to the episode, because I think that'll be helpful for people. Well, thank you so much, Lena. This has been really interesting, and I hope that it is helpful for people. Where can they learn more about you?
Yes, so I can be reached via my website, which is gratitude6.com. It's gratitude6.com. There's information about the different coaching programs, and I can be reached through the contact tab. So whatever note you send will come to me and we'll connect. We can set up a discovery call for coaching, because what's important is it a match for you? We get to uncover, what are you interested in? Where are you stuck? And if it makes sense to move forward, go over different options for coaching to be personalized to meet you where you are and where you want to go.
Well, thank you so much, Lena. I really am grateful that you have shared your expertise with us today. Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks, Malia.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
There's my episode. Thank you for listening all the way to the end, and I hope it was helpful. I love speaking with Lena. She truly just has an air of calm and grace about her, and I love her messaging and the points that she makes about how taking just a few minutes, literally just three, can set the stage for sleep or start your day on a positive note. And as you could tell from the discussion, I've only really done one side of this, the bedtime side, and it has made a huge difference for me. So thinking about the difference that you could make if you were to maybe take those 3 minutes in the morning as well, but that you can really make your routine fit your life and your family's life. And I hope that that's a great takeaway for you. With all the changes in the world lately, I think the one thing a lot of us are missing is time for ourselves. And so if just a few minutes can make a difference in our sleep and our well-being, I am all for it. I did ask for thoughts from others about morning and evening routines that are working for them right now. So here are a few thoughts from my listeners. From A Little A Lot Yoga on Instagram, my youngest and I have been reading a chapter together every evening. I read her a page or two, she reads a page or two, and then she snuggles with me until dad comes to bed or dad tucks her in. My oldest really likes to do a sound meditation. We have one on Yoga Glow that we really enjoy, and he will do that. I've been letting kids sleep in until they naturally wake. In the mornings, I like to make my coffee and do some sort of movement, a dog walk, yoga, or a run. I'm loving the natural rhythms we get to follow now that we aren't racing to catch a school bus or get to the office. So much more mellow. And this is Malia saying, I do agree with that. It is nice not to have to race out the door to school every morning and to just get to follow our own rhythms a little bit more. Chef Kaysen on Instagram says, using the Breely routine app has changed our lives. And I've heard that from others as well. That's the Breely routines app, and that is B-R-I-L-I. And here's one from Elizabeth Atchison of Blue Bridge Career Coaching. And this is an expert that I interviewed for the same article that Lena is featured in, the New Year's resolution article called Hindsight in 2020 that I will post in the episode show notes. And her advice is, I have people take a neon 3x5-inch index card and write down three most important things they're going to do the next day before they go to bed each night. This helps identify personal values by showing people what's most important to them. It's astounding how much more productive people are once they adopt this habit. Well, I hope that those are helpful for you as well. You can find the links that we've mentioned on the show notes at sleepwellstaywell.com. You can find Lena and more about her life coaching at gratitude6.com. Please follow the podcast on social media at SWSWPodcast on Twitter or sleepwellstaywell on Facebook or Instagram. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at by Malia Jacobson or on Twitter at Malia Jacobson. If you're enjoying this podcast, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I'm really enjoying the feedback and enjoying hearing from you and reading the reviews. Here's a review from Elisa Affel. Substantive, smart, incredibly useful. We all want better sleep for our kids and ourselves, and this podcast will show you how to get it. Malia Jacobson is a sleep expert in her own right, and she interviews top experts in health and wellness to share their strategies for more Z's and a better life. Thank you, Elisa. I am so glad you're enjoying it. I look forward to connecting with all of you next Thursday for an episode with a leading pediatrician and sleep specialist who is also a mom of three, and we'll talk sleep issues from babyhood all the way through the school and teen years. And I am really looking forward to that. Until then, please enjoy your week, enjoy your weekend, and as always, please sleep well and stay well. Thanks. Bye-bye.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast, now you know. Thanks for checking out the show.